You are. Hello, everyone. Good morning. Weather on Alive 90.5, brought to you by Concise Finance, your local mortgage broker. Good morning, everyone. It's currently 13.6 degrees after we had an overnight of 8 degrees. Pretty chilly at the moment. The forecast for the rest of the Wednesday is partly cloudy, possible smoke haze in the south, light winds becoming southwest 15 to 20 kilometres an hour in the evening. The sun will set tonight at 5 minutes past 5. Looking for the rest of the week, Thursday, possible shower 8 to 17. Friday, possible shower 9 to 19. And Saturday, mostly sunny 8 to 19. And Sunday, a bit warmer. 7 to 21. And the moon is a waning gibbous with last quarter on Friday, the 15th of May.
The updated traffic brought to you by Fernwood Gym of Seven Hills and North Rocks on Alive 90.5.
Chippendale Broadway just past City Road, crash of a bus and motorcycle. And two or three westbound lanes closed there, lane 1 and 2. Narrowena, Ringa Road at Alfred Street. Traffic lights blacked out due to a power failure. The utility company's there and the traffic is affected in all directions. And that's all we've got. And we've missed the news. It was not delivered to us from the newsroom. And we're sorry about that. We'll look at it and see how we go for the next hour. Well, good morning, Mario. Business Insight with Mario this morning on Alive 90.5. How are you?
That's okay, Darren. You know, like I just changed my seat, so like I confuse the greatest producer of the radio shows, Darren Capes Davis. I'm changing seats today because the last time I was sitting on a different mic and I wasn't happy with the position. Good morning to everybody, to all listeners to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario, Darren and Mario in studio for all of you. And we are very happy to introduce you to our guest. As always mentioning before, it's very important to you in understand the reasons why I bring these guests who are on Live 90.5. We try to bring true raw inspirational stories which are going to empower you and make you energy flowing, and you're going to do better in your life. Thank you to all our listeners. Thank you to all our sponsors. You're listening to Business Insights with Mario and Darren. We can continue talking, eh? So,
well, who have we got this morning, Mario?
Well, I would just, I'm very pleased to say, like, every our guest is a very strong guest, Darren, as you know. You know, I mean, it's a people from the daily life we have in our studio. And our first guest, I was moved with her story. She's very quiet, silent achiever, but her goals are to help others. And as I always say, helping others is a very generous and kind act of people. And those people I try to bring in the studio. Our first guest is, she is Annette Parker. And Annette, she's with us, or she's not with us.
She's with us. Hello. Good morning, Annette.
Annette. Hello, Annette.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello?
Yes, we've got you.
Oh, wonderful. Now, am I loud and clear?
You are absolutely loud and clear. Absolutely. You're coming through to the airwaves of the Live 90.5 in local Baulkham Hills, Parramatta and Cumberland. And you're from the sunny sights of Queensland, no doubt.
I am indeed. I am from the Gold Coast hinterland. So do you know Mount Tambourine at all?
Do you know Darren?
I do know Mount Tambourine. I know really? A lot of cyclists who go cycling up there. I haven't done it myself, but it's a lovely countryside. And I think I did drive up once from the Gold Coast up to the hinterlands there.
You are such a, I can't understand. You know, Darren, he drives a bicycle quite a lot, you know, which I didn't know. I've seen his posts, you know, all the time. He's on the Tour de France. So what's the weather look like in Queensland?
It's actually beautiful today, but it usually is at this time of year.
Yes. And yeah, how is it going, guys? Because you guys in Queensland, you have them more restrictions than us in New South Wales. Is that correct? You know, the Gatemore people, you can travel interstate.
No,
interregional.
Yeah, we do have the borders blocked, but I do think that you had more restrictions in New South Wales than in Queensland.
Because we are very naughty people here.
Hello. Like
can you hear us? Annette?
Yes. Now
okay,
I can.
That's good.
Thank you.
Well, Annette, let's go start the show. You know, as I spoke to you earlier this week, I told you that I'm very moved with your story, and I truly believe that this story of yours, it will inspire many, many ordinary people, business people, entrepreneurs, not just in Australia, but globally, because everybody who's listening to Live 90.5, they can tune in on our website, live90.5.com.au, and you can stream live through your computers or your digital devices. So, Annette, for the start, Darren and I try to briefly tell Darren who you are, but I said, like, I'll let you to you say your story. Who is Annette Parker?
Okay, so who is Annette Parker?
Okay, well, you can leave the PIN number. You can leave the PIN number for your credit card later, you know what I mean, when we're not on air. But, you know what I mean, tell us, who is Annette Parker?
Okay, well, first of all, I think Annette Parker is a seeker. So I've always been very, very curious. So my story is, it's quite a long one. Do you want me to start from the very beginning?
We just want to hear the raw story. Tell us a story like you're talking to your grandchildren. Once upon a time, there was Annette Parker.
Okay, well, once upon a time, there was a young girl who was adopted, and she was in an orphanage until she was about 3 months old. And then she was adopted into a Catholic family and grew up in country Victoria on the Murray River. So she then went to a good Catholic school, and after that she went to high school, and she then moved to Melbourne, and then she moved to Brisbane, and then the Sunshine Coast, back to Brisbane, and now out to here. So basically I feel like I am a survivor. I was adopted into a fairly dysfunctional German family.
Yeah, please share with us more. What do you think why you're a survivor? Why are you a survivor? What makes you a survivor?
Okay, so
I know the answer because I spoke to you, but our listeners on Line 90.5 would like to know why you are a survivor. Please share this with us.
Okay, well, I went into a very dysfunctional German family, and, you know, as much as I love them dearly, it was very, very hard for me. I was the only one adopted. I went into a family with four brothers and one sister. I had a brother who in those days they called retarded. These days I think it's more like Down syndrome. It was a fairly aggressive family. I struggled quite a lot, and the Catholic school that I went to was pretty typical of that era. There was a lot of, they were quite sadistic, the nuns there. The priests got moved on for pedophilia. So whilst I do have a background in abuse, it was actually a pastor's son for me.
Yes.
But also, I guess being in a Catholic school was quite a different thing back then than it would be now. And, you know, we've all heard the stories, but I witnessed things that I hope to never see again. And so that was pretty tough. There wasn't a lot of support in my family. My father, he was German.
Mm-hmm.
He fought in the war in Germany. He and his brother got a knock at the door and told that they had to fight or they would lose everything. So basically,
yeah, that was at those times,
no
yes,
choice.
Yes.
And so he came to Australia once the war was finished. He was a prisoner of war. He was a Navy diver, actually. So he used to be the one that would actually jump into the deep water and he'd put the canvas on the ship hulls to stop the ship from sinking so they could go back to shore.
Yes.
So it was quite a lot of years later that I learned out that he, I learned that he could actually swim, but he was terrified of water. So...
No, that's a pro.
Anyway, so he came over. Sorry?
No, please continue.
So he came over from Germany and he worked on the Snowy Mountains scheme. And I'm not sure how many people know of that, but it's a huge hydroelectric plant in New South Wales. So he was one of the first people building tunnels. They actually had a memorabilia stamp and he was on that when they brought the series out. So he actually first went to a camp in Bonegilla, which is fairly close to Albury. So it was an actual migrant camp. That's where he met my mother and took a fancy to her. And even though she didn't take a fancy to him, so basically my grandmother arranged the marriage and, you know, the rest is history. And so they had four boys and one girl. And back then it was a lot easier to adopt. So my background is that my mother is Croatian, as you know, Maria.
Yes.
And she actually had an abortion in Croatia before she came to Australia with her father. And her father passed away, and while she was in Australia, she also found out she was still pregnant with me. So she
yes.
said when I first spoke to her that I was actually one of twins, which is pretty amazing. So perhaps there's a reason I am here. And so from there, it was difficult. I think also the fact that I was adopted, my mother really struggled bringing up the children. She didn't speak any English. She had no support. The town that we actually grew up in was filled with Italians and Australians. So there was always a bit of a war there. And I never quite fit in any sector. So I think I've always grown up feeling quite different. And I've always been an observer. I think from
why, the what was the thing that you'll
five,
be different? Annette, may I interrupt you? Why do you think you've been seen different? Just because you adopted or didn't have the parents or why?
I think, I think I felt different. Number one, because I was adopted and, you know, I was reminded of that quite a bit. Now, I loved my brothers and sisters, but, obviously I was a little spoilt at when I was young because for the first year they didn't know whether they would be able to keep me. I think there's a trial period from what I could gather. And so my older sister pretty much brought me up because mum had enough on her hands with six kids, obviously, and my brothers were not easy to bring up. Why do I feel I was different? I think because I felt different and I can't really explain that, Mario.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew and I often felt like I didn't belong in the family and I, you know, a lot of adoptees will relate to this, but when you are in a family and you're adopted, you start imagining that your parents are, you know, movie stars or someone famous, and you start fantasizing about what your actual family would be like. And, you know, during the really, really tough times, and there were quite a few of them, I think it saved me in a way. I used to sit up, even at 5 or 6 years of age, I would have insomnia, so I'd be up till 3 or 4 in the morning, and my brothers and sisters used to lock me in the bathroom and tell me the boogeyman was coming, so I was terrified.
I know that feeling. I was doing this to my brother, trust me, you know what I mean? And, you know, that was the fun for the moment, but then later on you realise, Darren, he's looking at me very shy. Hello, Darren.
No, I totally understand that. I wasn't locked into rooms, but I was very scared of thunderstorms when I was young, and I used to crawl into my sister's or my parents' bedroom to go and...
To make him more comfortable, still afraid today.
During the middle of the night. So, I mean, it's good that now I've got a wife to lay in bed with. Yeah. It's still the same. Storms still scare me, but it's much easier now. But I understand how it can be like you for Annette to be so isolated and alone. And how did you deal with that in those times, or did you not deal with it?
I think and this is probably what led me to where I am today. I think I did isolate myself. I was very, very shy, unless you knew me. If I was comfortable with you, I was okay, but I was excessively shy and I built walls. I think I learned very early on that I just had to be tough, and, you know, having my brothers honestly, and particularly the one with Down syndrome. He's actually we thought he was dead. He was missing for 15 years, and I recently spoke to someone in Melbourne that had seen him. So that was just over a year ago. We still can't find him. He really doesn't want to come home. He's an alcoholic. He learned to drink from my other brother, who he grew up, and I think he had undiagnosed bipolar, looking back at it now. So because he didn't have that treatment, and my father obviously had, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome as well, and that would have been undiagnosed and unrecognized then. So there was no support for him, so he turned to crime, and then he sort of dragged my brother down with him. So he was an alcoholic probably very early on.
That's very sad. You know, that's a very sad story.
It is a sad story.
But how did you, you know, I know that you, you know, when we spoke, but, you know, in your adult life, you experienced as well some, if I'm correct, some type of the domestic issues, or did it something like this we discussed as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, so can you tell us more about this one? Because then we're going to understand, our listeners are going to understand why Annette Parker and why the dreaming or dreams.
Okay. Well, in the environment that I grew up in, now, it wasn't like my father was beating my mother up. Nothing like that, but he was a very, very angry man. And if he lost the plot, you wanted to get out of the way very, very quickly. It was my brothers, as they grew older, they became very aggressive, and particularly the one that I feel had bipolar. And it was a lot of things, Mario. So I'll backtrack a little bit. When I was 11 and I started high school, my brother had been into crime, so he was actually stealing cars. Now, he got caught, and he went to court, and he was under 18, so he was classed as a juvenile. So they weren't supposed to put his picture in the paper, and he was taken away to a juvenile home, and they plastered it all over the front of the paper. So when I started high school, I had absolutely no friends. Nobody was allowed to hang out.
So the ability that in
the teachers basically said, "Well,
So it was like a stigmata, family stigmata on you, right?
Yeah, there was a huge stigma. You know, my brother was retarded. He went to a special school, and when he came back, his stutter was almost gone, but he was teased. He used to ride a little bike around, and he'd visit us at school, and he was happy. He really was a happy fellow, but I think that got drilled out of him. People were very, very mean. They used to take his bike and throw it up on roofs so he couldn't get to it. That he used to be used back when I was growing up. They had a lot of orchards, so they would use him to pick fruit, and then they wouldn't pay him, and there was nothing that he could do about this. So that was pretty hard. So starting high school was the most difficult. I went from basically a straight A student almost to almost failing in the first year, because I would walk into a classroom and the teacher would say, well, we know where you're from.
Yes.
So yeah, it wasn't easy. And yeah, I was pretty weak back then. I think there were plenty of times, 11, 12 years old, that was a point where I would have liked to have just disappeared. And my mum was no support. She was grieving the loss of her son. And I was in a classroom with kids that had their brothers or sisters had had their cars stolen and driven into the river. And so, of course,
that's
really
a very,
popular.
Very, very powerful, very moving story. And as I always try to bring to attention to our listeners, Business Insights with Mario and Darren, it's not designed to share the story just how successful we are. To be understand how to successful become or how to be positive, you know, we all have the some stories. And I always say, come one to one thing to the point. What I learned in my life, that I appreciate people who comes forward with a honest, truthful story, because the life is not everything pinks and roses, and life is, you know, it consists from many, many different aspects of the life experiences. And your experience is very, very traumatic. However, you converted that trauma into something very beautiful. So we'll take a short break now, Annette. We're going to give you a glass of water in a minute. And we'll come back a little bit later. Listen, Business Insights with Mario and Darren on a live 90.5. We'll be back shortly.
The sky I'm sailing. place. I'm just yanking back the handle. No expression on my face.
Pace is an urban renewal and property development specialist whose reputation is centered on delivering great places to live and work. They take pride in transforming and delivering harmonious communities. Royal Shores, developed by Pace, is a new waterfront community in Parramatta, set right on the waterfront at the gateway to Sydney Harbour. Royal Shores is one of Pace's most unique urban developments to date. Pace, transforming places since 1978. Station sponsor.
Hi, Alan Barnes from Dural Pool Shop. With the swim season nearly here, I'd like to stress the importance of proper maintenance and care to maximise your enjoyment. Our expert pool technicians can help you make sure of the right pool quality, cleaning methods and equipment, filter maintenance, cost-effective pool chemicals and more. See full details on our website at duralpoolshop.com.au, or better still, drop in and see me and the gang at Shop 2, 270 Newline Road, Dural. We'll help you to get your pool just how you want it.
Dural Pool Shop, station sponsor.
Thanks for listening to the best in community radio, Alive 90.5.
It's 27 minutes past 10. You're on Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario. We're talking with Annette Parker. Mario, take it away.
Oh, thank you, Darren. So very much. Annette Parker, she's our first guest on our today's show, Business Insights with Mario. And again, thank you so much to all listeners and sponsors on Live 90.5. Annette Parker, she's sharing with us her very powerful, moving and traumatic story. However, there is a silver lining in that story, and that's what we like to share with all our listeners. Annette, can you hear us? Annette?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, of course. So I would like to say thank you for sharing your very, very traumatic experience in your life, being adopted, living with the brothers who are, you know, inclined towards the criminal activities and, you know, experience some type of domestic violence in your life. However, you have the business which is called Believe This Dream. Am I correct?
You are. Okay. And one point I do want to make, Mario, is that although I have, you know, quite a bit of trauma in my background, it's very hard to pinpoint which one scarred me the most. There's a lot of people out there that have faced far worse than me and probably dealt with it better than I did. However, I am very passionate about the effects of trauma and yes. how it can hold you back. And mental health issues, obviously, that arise from that.
So how did you come out positive from all that traumatic experience? Because there are a lot of people who are silently suffering, experiencing similar or maybe equally powerful stories, life stories, experiences like yourself. How did you go through this experience with being positive and come out with such a beautiful business of yours? What keeps you going?
Well, it wasn't always like that. I think it was, you know, I made a mess of my life so many times. It wasn't funny. I took a lot of different turns. But I think the saving grace for me was that one day after I'd moved to Melbourne, I answered a little ad in a paper and I moved out with somebody that I didn't know. And it was the first time in my life that people judged me for me, that I didn't have a background to live up to. When people met me, I was just Annette. And that's when my life really changed. And I discovered lots of things. As I said before, I'm always seeking, yes. I'm always learning, and I'm always observing. And I found a motivational book on the coffee table, and it was called The Silver Mind Control Method. And
Silver Mind Control Methods.
Yes.
That's a very powerful title. And where did you find this on the coffee table, yeah?
Yeah, I found it on the coffee table, and the fellow I was living with at the time,
yes.
I got to know him, and he became a very, very good friend. And then soon after that, another fellow moved in. We were all just sharing a house, and that fellow later on became my husband, and is still that's a very, very dear friend. Yeah, very dear friend. So I had a lot of issues, a lot of trauma and a lot of anxiety, but I think that book really propelled me into delving a little bit deeper, and that's when I realized that I did have some serious anxiety issues. I had serious intimacy issues. I had depression, and I started to realize that if anything was going to be done, I had to do it. So it really wasn't until I actually did a course and decided I would go around Australia and just work in bars.
Yes.
And I came to Brisbane. I ended up in Brisbane, and all I had was two suitcases, and I went and stayed with my friend, who was my ex-husband at the time, and my ex-flatmate at the time. And, yeah, from there I met a whole bunch of friends here, went through a whole heap of stuff again. And then I think it was New Year's Eve, I think, in 1994, and I was in a Sunshine Coast hospital having a miscarriage, and I realised that life was not as good as I'd hoped it would be. And so I think from there the positive turnaround started to happen. I went and saw a counsellor. I ended up committing myself to my husband at that time.
Yes.
I actually proposed to him because I thought I had mucked him around so much that I better do something about it.
That's a very bold idea. You know, I mean, that's become very popular, yeah, that women propose to men. But tell me something, that book Silver Mind Control Methods. Do you believe that we get into some type of science in life, you know, like you run into something and that should change our life or career or the path? Or do you believe that was just a pure accident that you found in that book that changed your life? Or was it answer on your prayers?
I am a huge believer in quantum theory. I believe that, whatever we believe is a reality somewhere, and that we can collapse the field and we can create that in our lives, but that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew then that there was a reason for me finding it, because it was after that that I started really seeking and realizing that personal development particularly was really what saved my life. Apart from
how did it save your life? Can you share with our listeners how did that save your life? How did this save your life?
Well, I've been in some pretty dark places, and whether I was within a relationship or without a relationship, I still had to deal with those dark periods. And when I got with my ex-husband, we went to counselling quite a lot. There was a point where I remember he went to give me a hug and I froze. I just couldn't handle anyone touching me.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that's a huge, huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I think I took into life with me, and I fully believe that if we don't deal with those really, I think, very deeply personal issues of
yes.
intimacy, then it will affect every other area of our life. And it's taken me a long time to realise that. At the time, I wasn't sure what was happening. I went to see counsellors. I did my fair share of counselling and psychotherapy. However, a lot of the times they would say to me, Annette, you're fine. And it wasn't until I actually had my daughter and I ended up with postnatal depression that I met an amazing nurse. I went into a postnatal clinic, and she took one look at me and said, I think you need to be here. And I said, no, I don't, I'll be fine. But I did. I ended up committing myself for quite a few weeks, because I'd survived on 2 hours sleep for 5 weeks with a new baby. And I wasn't in a very good place. And it was there that she said a lot of people intellectualize their feelings. So she said, the problem with you is that we need to get you out of your head and into your heart again. And that was probably the most profound thing that anyone has said to me, because that is where I really struggled.
Is that a moment, Annette, when you decided to start your business, Believe This Dream? Or how did you come with that idea to help other people?
Sorry, what was that?
So where was the moment when you decided to start your business, Believe This Dream? Was that moment when you passed
The business was just an offshoot. I actually did a degree before that. I decided I wanted to be a coach, and I then went on and did a counselling degree, because I felt that if I was going to be a coach, particularly with the issues that I'd had, I wanted to be able to help people if there were mental health issues in the background. So that was where I was going. And then it was only about, it was 2 years ago that I saw a little ad on Facebook about the company. And I thought, well, this sounds really interesting. I think I'll ring up about that. So I did ring up, and it was a personal development company. And I thought, wow, but I let the fear get in the way. So I kept doing what I was doing, and I finished my degree and managed to get a high distinction, which was amazing for me because I hadn't been to school for 27 years. So I was, feeling pretty on top of it then. And then I thought, you know what, I'll do some volunteer work in my industry. And I hit a trigger point, and I thought, you know what? I think my calling is to really help people that want to help themselves and not the resistant client. So I went back to my original dream of being a holistic coach, and then I ended up...
Holistic coach. Can you tell us what a holistic coach means?
Well, I didn't want to be a business coach. I really don't.
Why not? Why not business coach? Because I can see that this is the very, very... very lucrative industry, because I know through my experience, I met so many, many business coaches, but the first question for them is like, do you have the business coach? Instead of asking me, what is your business? Mm. So why holistic coach, not a business coach?
Because I am high on the emotional intelligence scale, and I'm pretty low on the logic scale. So business and maths was not my forte, and neither was accounting. So I knew that was never going to happen. That was never going to happen, and that's where my passion lies. I really just want to help people and connect with people and help them believe in themselves, because most people stay in a state of stagnation because it offers a certain type of certainty. They know that that's where they'll be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to strive for any success means leaving yourself open and being vulnerable, because you have to actually take responsibility. So we do tend to self-sabotage ourselves a lot, and that's where I felt my power came from, being able to help others get out of that self-sabotage
pattern. I got the power.
And sorry, what's that?
I got the power. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, take back that power. And so originally the thought was to coach women that were stagnant and in their 40s, that had hit a point where they were thinking, what the hell am I going to do with the rest of my life? I'm working 9 to 5, I'm running a household, but there's something missing. So that really was my target niche originally, because I could see just from looking around me that there was a huge need for that. And that's what propelled me into this business. I thought, wow, not only did the content and the actual educational courses really help me, it helped all areas of my life. It helped my relationship with my teenage daughter. It's given me something that I'm really, really passionate about and that I would like to share with others. And it's allowed me... It's allowed me to be able to have a business, because it's a business in a box, but also pursue other areas, which for me, I'd like to be a well-being holistic coach as well. I don't have a set structure.
Interesting,
because
yeah.
I think for me, I'm very client-directed, and I think that you can't put people in boxes. You need to actually sit down and work out whether that person has a good fit with you. They need to know whether they've got a good fit with you.
That's what I was saying. You can put the people in the boxes, Annette. Yes, that is very correct what you said. You can't one size fits all. But Annette, let's go continue this after the short break. Darren and I, we're going to play some music. You're listening live 90.5 Business Insights with Mari and Darren, and we'll continue our conversation with Annette Parker after the short break.
Is an urban renewal and property development specialist whose reputation is centred on delivering great places to live and work. They take pride in transforming and delivering harmonious communities. Melrose Park, developed by Pace, is one of Australia's largest urban renewal projects, providing new homes, jobs, retailing, parks and open spaces, and community facilities. Located around 6 kilometres east of Parramatta, Melrose Park is considered to be one of Sydney's next property hotspots. For more information on this exciting project, go to www.melrosepark.com.au. Station sponsor Pace, transforming places since 1978.
Hey fellas, need a new suit? See Mike Sampson Clothier at Winston Hills. He's some great business suits, in fact, suits for any special occasion. Mike also has a complete range of accessories such as business or formal shirts, ties, belts and shoes, as well as plenty of casual wear for the season ahead. Mike Sampson Clothier is located at Shop 21 Winston Hills Mall and is a proud sponsor of Monday Magazine with Happy Jack. And of course, Your Sound, Your Community, 90.5.
This is Your Sound,
Your Community,
Alive, 90.5.
It's 10:45 and you're on Business Insights with Mario, currently 14.5 degrees. Mario, lovely morning and lovely time to talk to our lovely guest.
It is lovely morning and I'm pretty sure it's a much more lovelier weather in Queensland. However, we are walking, approaching to the winter. So it's a little bit chilly, but it's a lovely morning. Annette Parker, thank you for being our guest on the Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario. Can you hear us? Annette?
Yes, I can, and very much appreciate you having me. It's quite an honor.
You're welcome, mate. Annette, now tell me something very quickly. Why the Believe This Dream, it's the name of your business?
Because I think that we all need to believe this dream. We need to find something for ourselves. We need to find our why. And for me, I have always believed in a dream. And I was always a daydreamer.
Okay,
and I always got accused of being a daydreamer.
See, that's my next question. Like, you know, I do understand that people, when you're approaching some certain age, let's just say my age, I'm the 48 years old, and I cannot say, and I can't stress enough as a premier New South Wales, she loves to repeat, I can't stress enough myself, that dreaming is very important. Now, when I say dreaming, you know, people will find this very childish. And I truly believe that dreams work and that we should dream about and aim about some things, particularly when you're a child, you know, when you're a worry-free human being, you're dreaming to be, I don't know, astronaut, you know what I mean, the captain of the ship or whatever it is, you know what I mean, we dream. So why the people will make it fun, and as I said, like, I'll experience this in my life, people will laugh when you say, I'm dreaming to be such a person. I want to be this in my dreams. Why is that?
Because we have all been brought up in a herd mentality. We are taught a particular curriculum, even if it doesn't suit us. They are only now looking at how you can teach children that are a little bit different. But we're all taught the same. We're all taught that we need to work hard, make money, and get a proper job.
Yes.
And the minute you start to stray from that, you're dragged back into that herd mentality. And so it really does take courage to break through and go, you know what, I do have a dream. And look at Einstein, look at Edison, you know.
Look at Mario Beckerson, Larry Cape Davis, we're a dream as well, together with Annette. And last week I was passing by one travel agency, Darren, and I saw this big, beautiful sign in Rouse Hill Shopping Center. It said, dream about your next travel. When this is over, we will come back with some lucrative, some beautiful traveling. But the thing was like, dream about your traveling. And I was like,
It's great to have dreams. And Annette, can you share more about your dreams and Dream to Believe?
Okay, well, my dream is that I want to be financially independent. But I really believe that I was put here to connect with other people who are survivors and who may be feeling stagnant, and male and female, because I think that men are struggling a lot at this time as well. And many men that have lost their jobs will probably be feeling quite vulnerable, because they've been taught they've got to be providers, they've got to, you know, make sure the family's fed. And I think that they'll be struggling with their identity at the moment. So for me,
are you talking during the COVID-19 crisis or generally speaking?
Well, generally speaking and during the crisis. I mean, obviously the most distressing thing I heard the other day was that domestic violence hospital, the hospital appearances of domestic violence have doubled since COVID. So
it's interesting what you're saying, because there's no stats, and they're appointing the deputy prime minister, chief medical officer for the mental health issues after the COVID-19. And that's what you say now, obviously reflecting that there is increase of domestic violence, obviously drinking, you know, like all these things, which, you know, they are not normal, but they take a part of our daily life, but now it's more increasing. So how do you help these people?
How do you help them?
Yes.
I think what you do is you help them find a why. You stop them from thinking about what could happen. You stop them from, well, you try to stop people from watching the news excessively and allowing that fear into their lives, because it's a really scary period. But if we can just focus on what this opportunity is, well, what this particular chaos in the world is actually giving us, and it's giving us time to reflect. There's never been a better time to reflect on what we need to do for the rest of our lives, because no one knows now, and that uncertainty is very, very unsettling for people.
Why is it set like this? Is this because our lifestyle or the way it used to be lived before the COVID-19 has been different than currently? Or that because we don't have the answers how life is going to look like after the COVID-19? I always come back to this point that this is the crisis, and the crisis, every crisis brings the, you know, the problems, of course, you know, for the daily life, for the finances, the families, and so many issues are there. But what is creating fear? Mm. Because we don't know what's going to happen later, or is it financial issues, or more drinking, more footy, I don't know, like, you know, space cadets landing on our Earth. What is creating that uncertainty and the fear in people in this crisis, particularly this crisis?
Well, I believe that the fear encompasses the whole lot, the excessive drinking, the excessive violence, you know, many people not knowing whether they'll have a job in the future. I mean, we've all been brought up to believe that financial security is something that we just must have. And now all of a sudden we're all feeling vulnerable. This happened to myself as well. My partner lost his job. We've really, really struggled. And it's a sense of security for people. If you take that security blanket away from people, it's like, well, what do I do now? And this is my whole purpose in pursuing my dream within the business. I want to be living a balanced life where when chaos does hit, you don't feel like you've been kicked in the gut. So I think that people have got a chance to find their why. Why do they want to do things? What is their dream? You know, if we can focus on what we can create in the future rather than focus on what we've lost, I think that that will go a long way. But it's an incredibly difficult thing to do when you're bombarded by so many sad stories. And I understand that because it is quite distressing. But unless we break out of that herd mentality and go, you know what, I do have the strength and I'm not going to self-sabotage anymore, then, you know, we will end up back where we started.
Interesting fact, I was watching last night Four Corners, and that was about COVID-19, and the new stats showing that 78% of the people in Australia disconnecting themselves from daily news because they're accepted there's so much negativity and they can't continue their life, particularly when the news coming from the government because they're rehashing same things over and over and over. And that's what it is. Nobody actually comes to the point, everybody's justifying why COVID, why to do this, but there is no positivity in the news. So I truly believe that you are the one quality person who experienced so much trauma in their life and so much problems, and then you survived and you started dreaming and you launched your business and you take those steps to get tertiary qualifications in, I mean, to be the coach, because the market is full of the gurus there, which I suddenly must say that I'm disappointed, because I listen most of these big names prior COVID-19, which unfortunately now they don't talk on the TV, on the radio, and they appear Annette Parker. Annette Parker, what is important for any individual or any business owner or anybody in Australia globally, how to choose proper holistic healer like yourself or coach or business coach? What's the important thing it is everybody should ask a person like yourself to be sure they get best for their money?
So to ensure that you get value for your money, now we all know there's a million coaches out there, there's a million programs out there, but often the personal development programs are very rah-rah. You go away for a weekend, you might firewalk, or like I broke an arrow with my neck. However, you need something concrete that you can follow. And I think personal development is an educational journey. I don't think you can do it in one weekend. It's something that you need to apply every day. And what I've found is that by applying just small things every single day, it compounds. And in the, you know, 6 to 12 months, you can be a completely different person. And as Joe Dispenza says, in order to change your reality, you do have to change your personality. So you need to work on yourself. And if you're not prepared to work on yourself, then you need to be prepared to stay in the same place that you are and possibly be in that same place in 5 years. But when it comes to coaching, I had a lecturer that used to say, if you're going to find a therapist or a coach or someone to help you, they need to fit like a bra. So try before you buy. Find some people, have a chat with them, and work out whether you actually have a fit with them. And the same goes for coaches. Like in my business, I screen. I actually have a chat and work out within the first conversation whether I'd be able to work with this person, because I will be working with them for quite a while. So I think it really has to be a win-win situation for both. Does that make sense?
Oh, but that's very well. Annette, for the end, because we are running out of the time, you know, like 60 minutes has gone very quickly, Annette. For all our listeners in Australia, Sydney, please, can you share with us how they can contact you, how they can reach you, and how they can talk to you, please? Your website or your phone number?
Okay. Yep. Okay, so LinkedIn, you can find me, Annette Parker, or Believe This Dream, or my website is www.believethisdream.com. And I would love to have a chat.
Annette, thank you so much for being the guest on Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario. We're very grateful to you. Your podcast is going to be live later on today on our website, alive.com.au. Alive905.com.au. Apologies. Annette, once again, thank you so much for being our guest. And to our listeners, we continue with the next hour new guest. Thank you, Annette.
You got friends.